and welcome to another episode of the Will This Be On The Test podcast, the podcast with the answers to your questions for college and career success.
We are your hosts. I am Betsy Olinger.
And I am Dr. Elizabeth Manet. In this episode, we are discussing how to turn your passion into your career. This episode is for college students, professionals that are early in their career, professionals that are deep into their career, and really anybody thinking about how to get more of your passion into your everyday, potentially, how do you turn that passion into a career? So why are we doing this? Why is this important, Betsy?
In this episode, we're talking about what really feeds you, what fulfills you, and what makes you feel rewarded, confident, happy, and hopefully paid. So that's kind of the impetus about this. Years ago, when I first started at GE, we were looking at the effect on the retirement accounts of people who had been offered a special early retirement option. These people were in their prime, probably in their 40s or 50s, had been with GE for many years and had likely moved their families around the country more than once, and were considered company people. So they likely started after they graduated from college or soon after and had grown with the company. And these people suddenly were offered an opportunity to retire. And many of them, with a few weeks notice, decided to take that opportunity. What shocked me about the data was a lot of these people, a much larger percentage than you would have expected, died within the first year of retirement.
That's crazy to me, honestly. The idea that you'd be retired. It's crazy and scary.
Right?
Yeah.
And these people who had not planned to retire. That's the thing. It's not like they were working to a certain age. They had this opportunity. They took it. And it's not like these people were sicker than average or healthier than average. But it scared me. I was in my 20s and I said, wait a minute. This isn't the way I want to lead my life. I don't want to retire and drop dead. And that's, in fact, what a lot of these people did. So I looked into it to find out what was going on. But what I found was the people who had worked for the company for many, many years did not have other outside stimulation. They did not have other items that occupied their time, really, besides work. Yes, they had families. Yes, they may have had some hobbies, but they spent their lion's share of time and their intention at work.
I think the bigger takeaway here is to think through, how is your career contributing to the opportunities to be well-rounded? Are you spending so much of your time at work that you have nothing left to give at the end of the day? Are you focusing all of your free time developing something to go back into the workplace? You know what I mean?
Right. And it's hard because we're pulled in more directions than ever before. And I'm not saying focus your attention on just one thing, because I think if you don't acknowledge it and try to put some sort of emphasis on it, all of a sudden a year passes and the next year passes, and then you look back. It's kind of like when you look at the legacy of someone and you go, wait a minute, what do I want on my tombstone? Is it a resume, something I want to be remembered for, or what do I want to be remembered on the tombstone? Well, he worked a million hours, you know.
Okay, so there's a guy that I know who was working 60 hours upwards, you know, 60 plus hours a week for this company in defense, and hated it, and decided one day that he was just going to quit his job. He had some savings and he said, I'm just going to spend the next 3 months traveling. It was like an eat, pray, love thing.
Right.
And he ended up spending 6 months traveling to clear his head. He was 27 years old and had spent the majority of his 20s just chugging away at a job. And he came back from traveling all over the globe and said, travel is my passion. I have to figure out a career that combines that travel. And he actually now works for a company where 50% of the time they're sending him all over the globe to do these inventory jobs. And so he was able to make that passion work for him. And I think that's a really good example of somebody who said, I'm going to make this change. Because you know what? When you think about it, so many people think about when I retire, that's when I'm going to do all the things that light up my life. And you know what? There's no guarantee that you'll get there. And there's also no guarantee that when you get there, you're going to be physically fit enough to do those things. I think it's so important to focus, like, what is it that speaks to you now? How can you do that on a regular basis?
I had a job once where I worked in a lovely children's clothing store in Atlanta. And I was 16 years old. And in my life, I had never seen time move so slowly. I was miserable. I was irritated the way customers would throw the little kids' clothes all over the floor, that people would do disgusting stuff in the changing room. It was a lovely high-end children's store. And that people last day, no, but that last day I was there, my mother came, it was in a little strip shopping center, and met me for lunch. And I said, I despise this. This is miserable. It's like my watch doesn't move. I can't stand this. And she said, I'm so glad you found what you don't like.
And you know what, Betsy? Like, I think that goes back to exactly what you said earlier. You have to think about what feeds you, right? If you're thinking about what feeds you, you should be thinking about pie. So this is your model. This is your model that you created. Very exciting. And we will post this, the model in the show notes. But this is pie. So Betsy, tell our listeners about pie.
Okay. I'm excited about pie. I created it. There are three parts, P, I, and E. And I recommend having all three of these sides going at all times. So it goes pie, a three-legged part. The P in pie stands for, drum roll, potential, passion, or possibilities. As in, how would you spend your time if you weren't concerned about making money?
How would you spend your time if you weren't concerned about making money? Like, what's your fantasy dream job?
It's me sitting in a boat in Charleston Harbor, looking at the lovely homes, of which, why not, I can own one. And I'm a shrimper, though I don't actually catch any shrimp. I eat them. But I sit there, just rocking back and forth.
Wait a minute. Your dream job is you want to be Forrest Gump?
Forrest Gump. No, that was his friend. I'd be a shrimper, but I wouldn't kill any shrimp, because I don't know that I even want to do it. I just want to sit there and enjoy. I love spending time. I love Charleston. I like being on a boat. I like looking at beautiful houses and talking to people. So there'd have to be some other people on my boat too. And then I would eat shrimp. So someone else needs to catch the shrimp and pop the heads off, because that's what
I think really what you want to do is you want to be like a skipper. Like, you want to charter a boat somewhere and just like enjoy that.
Skippering, is if that's a verb. So, all right, Gilligan. You have to think about where you enjoy spending time. And honestly, when I first developed this, I realized that my P was a little bit lacking. As in, I didn't have any hobbies. I mean, a guy changed my life, Liz. I didn't tell you this. This is what got me to where I am. A door-to-door salesperson came to the door when I was a child. And my brother and I opened the door, and this man said, "Hi, I am paid to talk to people." And I don't remember what he was selling, but that blew my mind. I said, "Wait a minute, some people are paid to talk to people? I want that."
You have nailed it, Betsy.
So this guy, I mean, again, "I am paid to talk to people," is the way he said it. And I was like, wow, that's a thing. So the idea of potential, passion, possibility, it doesn't have to be practical. Hey, that's a P. Doesn't have to be practical necessarily, but to have an idea of where you find joy. Because there are plenty of times when the mundane stuff gets you down and you go, wait a minute, when do I smile? What is it? Like, I like being on a boat. I like being out with people. And these are things, but I like getting new ideas, so I like to read and listen to podcasts and that kind of stuff. So that's my P. I'm going to ask you and put you on the spot.
Oh, I would be a tour guide. Hands down. If money was no object, I would be a tour guide. And essentially, I mean, if you think about it, being a professor is like being a tour guide for a subject. But hands down, I would travel all over the place. I would learn the facts about the place. And I would just tell them to anybody that wanted to know. I would be thrilled with it.
Now, I would make a horrible tour guide myself, because my sense of direction is lacking.
I have a very good sense of direction.
That's important.
That's Talk important. To us about the eye.
Okay. The eye would be the natural next step. The internal step is the eye, internal to either the field that you're in or the field that you're majoring in and studying or the company that you're in. For instance, if someone is a salesperson in a company, and the next step would be the sales manager or managing other salespeople or sales in a larger area. So it's essentially what is the logical next step.
And I think it has to be internally motivated. That's kind of what it sounds like. Like, where can you continue? Or is it? Are you saying internally motivated or internal to the major?
No, I'm thinking internal to the structure or the construct that you're in. If you're a biology major, it's kind of, what is the logical step for this? And many of the answers will be, oh, no, I don't want that. But the, for instance, I think this is harder to explain.
No, I actually understand this.
Please.
So when I was in college, I was a corporate communication major. And the umbrella of corporate communication covers marketing, advertising, public relations, and some journalism. And I was getting this degree, and I did an internship in each one of those logical umbrella categories. I did four paid internships and one unpaid internship.
Ooh.
And it was absolutely like that job with the clothing company that you talked about. I finished each internship and was more and more upset that I did not like anything that the logical steps were telling me to do. So I think that's actually, is that what you mean by internal there?
Like, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because, and we will have a Thanksgiving themed episode where, you know, what happens when you get cornered across the table from grandma or aunt in your business who asks, you know, what are you going to do with the major? What are you going to do next?
Or
you
That'll have that be a nice fun internship. Episode.
It'll be a great episode. But the thing is, it's the internal, it's the natural next step. It's what is expected of you, or what do you expect of yourself? And I think we're going to hit on this in a minute. You really made a good point, Liz, where you can study something, and if you haven't had any real practical experience, you might think, oh, this is great. This is great. I want to know more about it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you get in the field, you go, bam, I hate
this.
Yes.
On paper, it definitely looks a lot different than practice. That's, if that is a plug for an internship right there, that would be how I would sum it up.
I think it's critical.
Yeah.
You have to have that experience. So go ahead.
No, so talk to us about the E.
Okay, so the P was potential, passion, possibilities. The I is internal, either to the field that you're in or studying or to the company that you're in. E is external or entrepreneurial. It's taking the skill set that you've developed and the connections that you've already cultivated and saying, wait a minute. Who else can I work for? How can I do this actually on my own? Or what problem is not being solved? And how can I be the solution to that? So it's saying, you know, what else can I implement to achieve my goal and be professionally fulfilled? So we've gone through the P, the I, and the E. Is there anything you want to add on the E?
I think the biggest takeaway for the E is getting yourself to think a little bit outside the box. You don't have to set yourself up for a career under the label of the major that you took. Or if you've been in HR for 8 years as a professional and you're not really passionate about HR, mine through the skill set and say, okay, where are these skills transferable to a completely different career? I can't tell you the amount of times I've worked with professional consulting clients in the consulting business that I do, where they come and they say to me, am I doomed to this life in this trajectory that I've set myself up for? I don't know anything else. And yet when we actually talk through the skill set, they come to realize that not only do they know a whole lot and they know how to apply a whole lot, but with just a little bit of creative thinking, you can go in a completely different direction that can be inspiring. So that would be the way that I would think of it.
Fabulous. And that's where we see a lot of people. When I started my consulting practice back 16 years ago, I had a lot of people, and my niche was essentially people who were in their dream jobs at age 30 or 40 and said, now what? Because they weren't being fulfilled.
Yeah. Yeah.
They internally, maybe they were doing fine, but they were worried about the companies they were with. So I recommend everyone at all times to have at least an inkling of mm-hmm. what your P is, your I, and your ER. And again, there's a graphic in that on in the show notes and also on the website.
So I think this is a nice time to segue into some of the myths that we tell ourselves that prevent us from inserting a little bit of that passion into the career.
Sure.
So we have 10 myths. Can we do 10 myths in 5 minutes? I think we probably can do that.
Go.
But no, so before we get into that, the reason why we're focusing on myths is because we really can tell ourselves all of these stories that prevent us from living that dream. The myths that we tell ourselves. Myth number one, there's no money in it. Betsy, debunk this for us.
First, you have to explore. I'm not saying move across the country and take a mortgage out and then try to find the money. You can explore. It is amazing. If you can solve a problem for somebody and there is a value to doing that work and having that problem solved, then boom, you have a business.
You have a business. Myth number two, I won't have pride for my family. This right here is one of the myths that I hear the most often from college students. I have students who come to my office and they're so down and they say things to me like, my family wants me to be in accounting or finance or business or a doctor and I really hate it. I just want to do writing and history. And so these students, they tell me about all of these things and they light up when they talk about their passions. And the advice that I say to them each and every time is, family is very important, but you have to live your life. And you cannot live your life in the pursuit of somebody else's happiness. Myth number three, I have to stay in this role because people depend on me here. Betsy?
Okay. Jack Welch, great leader at GE, said to his people who are working 80 and 90 hours a week, we are even at the end of the week. You owe us nothing after the end of the week. You owe us nothing and we owe you nothing. And it was kind of a harsh reality because this was during the time when people worked for one company for a very long time. But you have to do the best job you can do, but there are 24 hours in a day and there are other opportunities to look and see what fulfills you and to stop and take a look every so often and say, wait a minute, is this where I still want to be? Am I here just because I've always been here?
So myth number four, I am not good enough and other people are better than me. I always think to this one as there are amazing jobs out there and somebody has to do them. And if you pursue your passion with everything that you have, why can't that person be you?
True. And women are really less likely to apply for jobs than men are. Women will only apply for a job if we meet 100% of the criteria. And usually will go for a job if they meet 60%. But as you said it, mm-hmm. if you don't apply for a job, I promise you won't get it.
Absolutely.
Right? If you do go for it, yeah, there are risks. We can talk about that.
No, and no, you bring up a good point, right? Don't let the mindset that other people are better than me, so I shouldn't try, deter you. All right, myth number five, the people that matter to me the most must approve of everything I do.
Okay. But the people that matter, there are times when you have people who are helping you. You're a partner with somebody, a romantic partner, a life partner, family partner, whatever, or you have family who is relying on you. For instance, you know, you're living with them and they're waiting to help you get on your feet. That can be critical. But again, they might be advisors to you, but it's still, you get one life. That's all you get.
That's a great, yeah, I think you've shed some light on something I wasn't considering, that there are other people out there who we feel that we have to hold expectations for. And it does go beyond family. It, you know, your mentors, your advisors. Yeah, excellent point, Betsy.
Thank you.
So myth number six, it's my problem, so only I can solve it. I think that this is a little bit of a myth in the sense that if you have a passion and you have outlined it or defined it very well, you don't have to struggle from getting from point A to point B to point C. I think that you can definitely rely on the advice and the guidance of other professionals within your network to help you put those pieces in place. Myth number 7, it's the system, the employer, the recruiter, the interviewer that is holding me back.
And all I'm going to say on that, because I have been the employer and the recruiter and the interviewer, is yes, sometimes you will get interviewers and recruiters and maybe employers who are not supporting you in what you need. And it's your job to nourish yourself and figure out what you need to do to be successful career-wise. Mm-hmm.
And that might not even, and that might just be not the right fit for you, but what can you learn from it?
And we'll talk about this in a future episode when we talk about career movement, but you don't want to ever badmouth a former employer. You can
never.
Just be very short with your answers and people will read between the lines.
Strategic ambiguity. It is a friend.
Sounds like a band.
A communication tool band. Number 8, I'm too old. I'm too out of date. I'm too young. I'm too inexperienced. I think this one right here is just, again, a matter of mindset. You're not too old. You are experienced. You're not too young. You are passionate and enthusiastic. No, so and these are constructs that we tell ourselves to, again, prevent us from finding that peace in our life.
It's just scary to look.
Absolutely. So you know what? If you feel that you are too something, then take a small step into supplementing those skills. If you're not great with technology, I'm not great with technology, then take a course in technology. If you don't know another language and that's a requirement for you to live your passion, sign up for Duolingo. Don't let anything that's a mindset-based piece deter you. You can
and
do
frankly,
this.
And frankly, how old? I wish I had that time when I felt like I was too just right for a position. Mm. I've never felt that way in my life, and I've lived a really good life so far. But I know there were times I felt too young, but and sometimes I feel too old now. But you're exactly right. What is it that you're afraid of, and what can you learn?
Take the leap. Number 9.
Take the pivot.
Take the pivot. Yes, pivot. And we can talk about pivot at some point. Yeah.
Yes.
So, number 9. There are no jobs for people like me. I don't even know what this means, Betsy. Let's debunk this.
Sometimes you feel like you have too much on your plate and that things that are holding you back, oh, I don't have the master's degree, or I don't mm-hmm. have this certification, or I don't have this, therefore I am unemployable. But I think it's take it around. There are no jobs for people like me who have a small child or dealing with an aging parent or who are not willing to mm-hmm. commute or work 80 hours a week. That's simply not true. Mm. And it's something you have to evaluate what you're looking at. And really, it's scary because when you're looking out there, it is risky, you're vulnerable. But think about, what am I most afraid of with this? And I think by answering that question, you can solve some of these problems. And instead of just throwing out there, oh, there are just no jobs available for people like me.
Absolutely.
Finally.
Number 10, I can't change and I can't learn something new because ... And the myth debunked here is, if you have the mindset, you can absolutely change, you can absolutely learn, and you can find ways to incorporate these pieces successfully. We're not saying up and quit your stable job. We're saying, you know what? Take a class. Take a part-time job. See what it is that you can learn that you can then implement maybe to start pivoting into that full-time
Absolutely.
Career.
And we'll have other tools in subsequent episodes as well. I think information interviewing is something really useful to do to find out the good, the bad, and the ugly about different positions or concerns you have.
And that takes almost no time or effort. That's not a big ask.
No, it's not a big risk. A lot of these things, when we're talking about developing your pie, essentially, or this model, it's putting yourself out there to see what's next for you, but also to help pull people along and involve them in your success and in their success as well. Please join us for our next episode.
We caught up with Teresa Liu, who is the Associate Director of International Admissions at Baruch College, who has been a really successful model of turning a passion into a career. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio,
Google Podcast, most major platforms where podcasts are hosted. To make sure that you're prepared for your next test, visit our website at WTBOTTpodcast.com for links and notes mentioned during the show. We love hearing from listeners, so please leave us a question or a comment or a topic that you'd like to hear more about during the show. Please make sure that you subscribe, like, rate, review, and share so that you don't miss anything. We have to thank Joseph McDade Music for this awesome soundtrack. Thanks, Joseph. We release new episodes every Monday, so follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram specifically, to see what next week's episode contains. Thanks for listening.